June 22nd, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today we are going to start from the Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. So we are instructed not to be sluggish, but also be diligent till the end. Since it is a bit hard to understand, you might read through it and not think much of it, but what it says is very important. In that sense, the Bible is not the most reader-friendly book, since it only tells you the half of the story, and it expects us to figure out the rest. But if you are in school, everyone tells you to study so that you will not fail. But if you don't listen to the instructions and get lazy, you will, of course, fail and not graduate. Same thing with the Bible. It just warns you and tells you what to do, and if you don't comply, you fail to obtain the promise. And you know the story of the rabbit and the turtle. The rabbit could run fast, so he got lazy, and he took a nap and ended up losing the race. And this verse is inheriting the promises is about Abraham. The promise is having Isaac at the age 100. There's another section that talks about the promise. Let's look at the Romans 4:16. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. You might have seen 100-year-old people on TV. I mean, that's how old Abraham was, and his body was as good as dead, the Bible says. And a new life still came from the dead place, which happens to all of us. We are all dead in sin, but as we accept Christ, a new life is born in our lives. And this is what we experience as a Christian, according to the Bible. And as Abraham endured to receive the promise, we also have to endure in order to receive the promise of Jesus' resurrection power. There's another section that says a similar thing. Let's look at the Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I want to know Christ, yet to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. This is what Paul said. I want to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. He clearly says in the verse 12 and 13 that he has yet to attain the complete promise, but still striving toward it. So if Paul had not received the complete promise, despite of being a super disciple and was still working toward the goal in his life, we should by no means sit around and say we have already obtained the promises. And as the verse 15 stresses, that all the saints think as such, and if you think differently, God will make clear to you. Paul also said in the Bible to imitate him. So we have to live in such a way. We have to run like Paul, although we don't understand everything fully. But if we get lazy like the rabbit, we might not obtain what we are supposed to obtain. And this is not a message from Judas, but this is from Paul, who was the apostle of the apostles. So I'm going to run since Paul said so. So we should also press on as a Christian for the resurrection power of the dead. Now going back to the Hebrews 6:13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So the birth of Isaac from Abraham signifies the resurrection power of the dead. And even after God's promise, it still did not come easily. When Abraham could not wait any longer, he tried to bring the promise with his own hand and caused the birth of a child by a slave woman. But after much endurance, finally Isaac was born. I myself, like Paul, don't think that I have fully obtained the promise yet, but I am striving to obtain the promises. I am not the best worker in much of anything I do, but for serving the Lord, I dedicate myself more than anything else, and I know that I was changed because of that, and God continues to work in me, and I do feel the resurrection power is working in me as the voice of death is fading away. As you know, dead men do not hear anything. But if you are alive, you hear something and you do hear God. And when I was drowned, I did not hear anything. Everything was pitch dark. But as I was coming back alive, I started hearing the sound of other people who was carrying the boat, and I started seeing the sunlight above me. Just like that, when you become alive in God, you will hear God. And I used to be deceived and used to listen to different voices, but as I strived to obtain Christ, bit by bit I started hearing the Lord more clearly because he became more alive in me. That's why we started issuing a newsletter for non-believers called Monthly Bible. So being alive in Christ and hearing God is so important. Do not think the resurrection power of Christ is something so foreign to you. And if you don't know that power, you may easily get derailed from the path, and you live thinking that you're a Christian, but without knowing the promises at all. If the resurrection power is working in us, you see that in your own life, like a pregnant woman see the life growing inside of her. Hebrews verse 16 and 17. For men indeed swear by the greater, and the oath of confirmation is for them an end of all dispute, thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heir of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God swears by an oath, as we do. Some men do not keep an oath. But I want to show you what God does when he swears by an oath. Let's look at Genesis 22:16. And he said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you, multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. When the angel of the Lord said, you have not withheld your son, your only son. This is talking about the Christ, the Son of God. The reason why Abraham was so blessed was because he was willing to obey God and give up Isaac, as the verse 12 says. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And when God swears, God keeps his word. It is not like some people who says whatever to please others. So Abraham willing to give up his only son, Isaac, and was the foreshadow of what God was about to do by giving up his only son, Jesus. And since we Christians are all spiritual descendants of Abraham, we also have to expect to face this kind of decisions like Abraham. We don't know that if you're new believers or not, but we know that God asks for sacrifice in your life. And it is not only about giving up a child. God does ask us to give up the most important thing in our life. But when Abraham chose God over anything else, then he received special blessings from God, for which he swore by himself. As God gave up his only son, Jesus. But this was not the end of the story. Abraham gave up his only son, but that was not the end of the story. So when we choose God over the most important thing in our lives, that's not the end of the story. But rather, we will have special blessings in our lives. By two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have in an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. The verse hope set before us is the same as what Paul said, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what is ahead. And speaking of entering the presence behind the veil means Holy of Holies, where priests could enter only once in a year. This holy place hidden behind the veil was a real blessing. And it was not accessible for us before Christ, but we can now enter into it because of Jesus. And when we enter into it, many things will be revealed to us, like just like Book of Revelation. The showbread was placed on the table, but there was also manna in the ark. And you can buy the bread from bakery, but manna was from heaven. And as the Bible says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And this word of God is manna. So I want you to know that those real blessings are all behind the veil.